Yes, about. Let's start from the top of the page. That way, I won't have to give any background. Vatani came. We learned in a brisa. If she gets sick or he gets sick, or he goes to Chutzlaretz, Adam Olim, they don't count for the 10 years after which he divorces her. By the way, it's interesting. The reason why we're not makpid on that nowadays you don't have to divorce your wife, even if you don't have kids after 10 years. The reason is because, Mordechai says, the reason is because the Gemara, the end of the third paragraph of Basra, says that Bismanazah, really, we shouldn't have any kids because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We shouldn't have any kids, but then there won't be any Am Yisrael. But nevertheless, because of this concept of Zechel Churban, that's why we don't require somebody who has no kids to get divorced or to marry another wife. It's an interesting thing that Mordechai says. So it's not because of that Gemara that he says you don't have to divorce after 10 years or marry somebody else. Okay? So in any event, so we're not makvi now on this halach of Bismanazah.
So Churban overrides Puruvu?
Yeah. Yeah. Churban overrides. So Gemara says it will grudge people after the Churban refused to get married, refused to eat meat or drink wine, and there was one other thing they refused to. I forget what the other thing was. So the Gemara says, obviously it's not possible, but, you know, and we're not mocking on these things, but the Mordechai says that because there is such a concept, so therefore we don't make him get divorced. Okay, so they don't count for 10, doesn't count for 10, for the 10 years. Nisa Sarishan, she's married to the first guy for 10 years, below, this is a reason she's married to the first guy for 10 years, below Yolda, and doesn't give birth, Yesh lo Ksuva, she's get to Ksuva. Lashane, then she marries the second guy for 10 years, and doesn't give birth, she still got a Ksuva, Yesh lo Ksuva. Lashlishi, she marries the third guy, and doesn't give birth, Yesh lo Ksuva, she's got a Ksuva. Lavil, Chamish, she marries the fourth or fifth guy, ain't lo Ksuva, she really doesn't have a Ksuva. Rabbi Chin, about a goldish, and Rabbi Chizkiya said, Chin, Rabbi Chizkiya said, Rabbi Chizkiya said, Lashlishi, Atzmo, ain't lo Ksuva. The third one himself, she already has no ksuva, meaning there's a machlokas here. How many times, after how many husbands does she establish a chazaka that she's barren? Is that the three husbands? And therefore, after having had three husbands and not having had any kids, for the fourth and fifth husband, she gets no ksuva. Or is after two husbands, and then after two husbands not having any kids, she doesn't get a ksuva already from then on for whatever women she marries, whatever, however amount of men she marries. So says the Gemara, Nisis Levi Chamishi Velo Yolda. What happens if she marries the fourth and fifth guy and she covers his birth? Mao Diyasu Kad Moyale, can the first threes come and say, hey, you were barren. Obviously you're barren. So we want our ksuvas back. Give us a refund. Because we paid you a ksuva when we divorced you because we thought maybe you're not barren. But you clearly are barren, so we want a refund, right? So it says, Marichola Hilumema, she could say, Kiduni Sakartas, now I became barren. When I was married to you, I wasn't barren. It was your fault, not mine. Says the Gemara, Aitis Anisis Chamishim Yolda. What if you have a certain Kiduni Sakartas Haitis? So at this point, I became, this woman, meaning herself, became barren. Nisis Chamishim Yolda. What if she marries the fourth, fifth guy and she has a kid? Finally, after 40 years, she has a kid, right? So what happens? Can Mao Tachsar Via, can she go back to the fourth guy and demand her ksuva? Can she say, see, it wasn't barren? So I'm a ksuva, right? So no. Omri lo, we say to her, Shtikusech yofem b'diburech. Better you should be quiet and not talk. Why? Because the fourth guy will say, I only divorced you because I thought you were barren. So therefore, it's like a gerushin al tanai. So now that I see you weren't barren, I would want you back. And if I want you back, I could go out and spread the rumor that your get is null and void, and that your kid is therefore a mamzer. So therefore, better you should keep quiet than you should demand your money, because I can make all sorts of promises for you. Nivelus v'ro adam. Now, on a similar topic, If a woman, every time she has relations with her husband, she sees need the blood. So nivelus v'lo adam, she has relations and she sees blood. Nivelus v'lo adam, she has relations, sees blood. Istani tani, those who say learn shniati boel, she has can have relations the second time, but then she established a pattern and shlishis lo tibol, she may not have relations the third time because she chazaka that she sees blood whenever she has relations. Is tani tani, that those who said shlishis boel, she can have relations the third time revius lo tibol, but not a fourth time. Why? Because the machlokas how long it takes to establish a chazaka, a pattern. Is the pattern established two times or three times? Having boil them, they want to say mandamar shniati boil shishis lo tiboil. The person who holds that a second time she can have relations, but not a third time, because she may establish a pattern of seeing blood after relations. Kamandamar shlishis and l'ksuva. It's just like the opinion which holds that the third, she doesn't get her ksuva already on the third marriage. My baram kamandamar shlishis tiboil. But he who said that she doesn't establish a pattern until the third time, and therefore the third time she can have relations. Vias lo tiboil. Only the fourth time she can't have relations. Kamandamar, that's like the opinion which holds from the third husband she does have a ksuva, and only then is the pattern established, and only the fourth one does not get a ksuva. Right? Only from the fourth one she does get a ksuva. So, and it seems like those are related. Whether you establish chazaka two or three times is a global machlokus. Now what about, let's see if we can apply it further. She gave birth to male children, but you need mold him, and they would get bris milas, mesim, and they would die. Right? East tani tani, that those learn, sheni yomu, the second one gets a bris, shlishi yomu, the third one, ray, doesn't get a bris mila, because the pattern is established with twice. East tani tani, those who learned that shlishi yomu, that the third time you do get a bris mila, because the pattern is not established until after three times, revi'i lo yomu, it's only after three kids have died that the fourth one she doesn't get a bris to. I'm a boy, the member, so here too they wanted to say, he who said that the second time you still have a bris, but then already passed establishing shlishi lo yomo, and for the third you shouldn't have a bris. Commandamar shlishi saying look, so it's like people chose, and when she's married to three people in succession, already the third one doesn't have to give her ksuva to divorce her because she established a pattern of first two. Manamar shlishi yomul or vilo yomul, and he who said that the third time you give a bris still, so the fourth time you don't give a bris because you only establish a pattern of three times, so that would be kamandamar. That would be like the opinion which holds that shlishi sheis the ksuva, that she still has a ksuva the third time because she's not considered to have established a pattern of barrenness until after three times.
So the circumstances are different. One is a life
and death situation. That's what my dad says, exactly that. Yeah. I know, says Marfil Kumad Damar, Ksuva. Even if people told that the third time around she gets a Ksuva, and she hasn't yet established a pattern of barrenness, holds that Mode Huacha Shaloyomu Nesakono concedes that for Brismila, already after the second one, you don't do a Brismila because of the danger involved. And then now the one brings down Mice, which is brought down also in Shabbos in the Bavli. Tani Omer Rabbi Nosser Nosser says, Mice Shalachti Kesorin Shakapukaya once went to the city of Kesorin in the district of Kapukaya. Baisosham Isha Agos, a certain woman there, Vaisiletis Chorim, she would give birth to males, but you need Bowen, they'll get a Brismila, and Mason, they would die. Most Arishu Mei, she gave Brismila to the first kid and died. Vashani Mei is the second kid that died. Shlishi Mei is the third one that died. The V's, the fourth one, Heavy Osulafana, she brought him in front of me. Nistakalti boy, I looked at him for Isich, Lori Sibo Dam Bris, I didn't see blood for Brismila, meaning she, obviously he was jaundiced, right? He didn't have the right coloring, so therefore he knew that to wait. So I said to the people, leave him for a while, and they left him, and then they gave Brismila after he had recovered, and he was found to survive, which means they called him Nosson by my name. Okay, because obviously it was Rabbi Nosson who saved this kid. Now, when getting back to a woman who we counted 10 years of barrenness, what if she had kids and they died? We count from the time that her kids died. Because she can say, Rucha Chanchas Bonim Da'it Desa. She could say, a spirit suffocated the children of this woman, of herself. And I only became barren then. It wasn't barren beforehand. So actually, if she has no surviving kids, but she still, we count from the time that her last kid died whether to see whether she's barren, because she might only have become barren then because at that point she became so depressed or so sick over the being deprived of her children that at that point she became barren. Okay? Rabbi Elazar b'Shem Rabbi Yosef Rezimah said, Taima da'han tanya. Getting back to our Mishnah said that only a man is mechuyav pruvu, not a woman. What's the logic of our Mishnah? Because it says pruvu, be fruitful, multiply, and milu asaretz and fill the land, v'kivshua and conquer it. V'kivshua ksiv. Actually, it says v'kivshua, he will conquer it. Midar kolich bel bosh. Who is the one who actually goes out to wiser in and singular if it's read as plural? Because whose derech is to go out to conquer? Ha'ish, lo ha'isha. It's a man and not a woman. And therefore only a man is required, it conquers the world, and therefore only a man is mechuyav to actually go out and be involved in pruvu. Of course, nowadays that there are women involved in all sorts of areas. I don't know, maybe the halacha changes, yeah? But in any event, that's the way it was in the good old days when men were men, then women were women, but now who knows? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yemi, Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Yitzhak bar Meri, and Rabbi Shemir said, halacha Rabbi Yechon ben Broka, that both the man and the woman are mechuyav in pruvu. Rabbi Yitzhak bar Achon, Rabbi Yaakov bar Ini, Rabbi Yitzhak bar Chulakul, B'Shem Rabbi Yudin Asiyah said, even if the halacha is not that way, in other words, even if a woman is not mechuyav in pruvu, in Tovas in the Seif, she said she wants to marry somebody else in order to potentially have kids, Hadeni Mod, she has the right to claim that, because having kids is a very important advantage, of course, for many reasons, and therefore she has a right to try and enjoy that advantage, even if she's not mechuyav in pruvu. Rabbi Lester said, halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Again, he said that Allah is for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. They're both mechuyav pruvu. So Amrabi Zababa Zadar, Rabbi Zadar said, Imcha Isi. I was with you in front of Rabbi Chanina. Lo Isamis, that was not said. Rather, what was said was not that Allah is for Yochanan ben Broka, but Rabbi Moisa Tavasino say that if she was demanding to get married, at the end, well, we give her the right to do so. And it's not because of pruvu, but rather because of the advantages of having kids. Rabbi Lezer Hadod Etninon. Now, the similar thing happened where one guy didn't remember properly and the other guy reminded him of the proper thing with unrelated topic. The Tinat Amon, we learned over there, Shabbos Shecholet Tisha B'Av Lios B'Socha, the week when Tisha B'Av occurs, when it's forbidden to take haircuts and to do laundry. On Friday, Rabbi Chaina said, because Rabbi Lakor Tisha B'Av. Rabbi wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av and do away with it altogether. So, says the Gemara, V'loi Nichol, they didn't allow him to do so. Rabbi Lezer said to Rabbi Bar Bar Zavda, I was there in front of you, with you, in front of Rabbi Chanina. The Loi Samus, and there wasn't said it like this, that Rabbi wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av altogether. Rather, Bikish Rabbi Lakor Tisha B'Av Shchalas B'Shabbos. When Tisha B'Av comes on Shabbos, that year Rabbi wanted to abolish Tisha B'Av altogether, as opposed to what we do, which is to make it on Sunday past Shabbos. But no, Nicholo, the rabbis didn't permit to do so. Amar, Rabbi's logic was, once it's pushed off, let it be pushed off altogether, right? Amulos, they said to him, no, yidach elamachar, that she pushed up till tomorrow. So actually, Rabbi didn't want to approve every Tisha B'Av, just Tisha B'Av comes on Shabbos. So then Rabbi Lezer said about Rabbi Bobar Zavta, the name Rabbi Lezer, I'm sorry, Rabbi Bobar Zavta, who had made the same name Rabbi Chanina inaccurately, said about Rabbi Lezer's reminding of the accurate nature of the statement. The Korah Leim, he said about himself and Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Bar Zavta said about himself and Rabbi Lezer, Tovi Mashnami Nechel, two people are better than one, meaning I did not remember properly on my own, but because you participated in remembering with me and we put our brains together, we remembered actually what Rabbi said properly. So there we should go ahead for correcting me. That's basically what he said. Okay, Ajlo Chaboy Vimto, new Perek. I'm on the Kohen Gadol. Krusha Chutz Kohen Edyot. You have an Ammon marrying Kohen Gadol. Or the divorcee women underwent Chalutz and marrying a regular Kohen. She brings into the marriage Avdi Milog and Avdi Tzom Barzel. Now, Avdi Milog and Avdi Tzom Barzel are important concepts. Does anybody remember what the difference between Milog and Tzom Barzel is? So is Tzom Barzel.
It is?
Yeah. What's the halachic difference? What's the halachic difference? Does anybody want a window open? Or... Yeah, what's that law doing to change?
Remember that there was one is
Again, I'll just turn this on low. Yeah.
So on Barzel is the iron it's not the payros, it's the actual principle.
Which is?
Not the interest.
But they're both objects. They're both objects. Right? Some buyers and Milog are not money. She doesn't bring in money. She brings in property. So Milog is where she brings in the property. What happens to the end of the marriage?
Isn't it called
Nichse
Milog?
Yeah. Nichse Milog. Yeah, but these are Avodim who are brought in the status of Nichse Milog. So what does mean? What happens with the property she brings in as Nichse Milog?
She goes out the same thing that she came in.
Right. She takes out whatever she brought in. What happens to Tom Barzo?
Oh, whatever it's worth. Yeah.
Whatever it's worth, right. He undertakes when she brings the stuff into the marriage, whatever it's worth that he'll get and she'll get at the end, even if it depreciates or appreciates. So the advantage of Nichse Milog is that if it appreciates, it's still hers. The disadvantage of Nichse Milog is that if it depreciates, it's still hers. The advantage of Tom Barzel is that the value is guaranteed. The disadvantage is that the value is static. Okay? So, is that what you were thinking before?
No.
Okay, but you both remember that. Right?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So, what?
It took a while.
All right, this just goes to show you, retain something. She brings in Avodim with the status of Milog, meaning that at the end of the marriage she'll get back the same slaves, or Avdi Tzom Barzel, or Avodim of Tzom Barzel, which means she's guaranteed their value at the end of the marriage. Avdi Milog lo yochlu b'truma. The slaves that try Milog, they shouldn't eat truma, even though, here it's forbidden marriage, right, obviously. So Avdi Milog lo yochlu b'truma, because they belong to her. And she doesn't have the right to eat truma, right? So therefore they can't eat truma. Vavdi Tzom Barzel, the Avdi Tzom Barzel, however, Yochlu B'Truma, they can eat Truma. Why is that? Even though it's a forbidden marriage, because who do they belong to now? They belong to him. Because he has to give back not them, but their value. So therefore they belong to him, and therefore they can eat Truma, even though she may not. Right? Veilin Avdi Milog. These are the slaves of Milog. Imesu, if they die, Mesu Law. She suffers the loss, right? Because they're hers. You will see her if they appreciate or see her loss. She gets the gain. Period. Even though he has to pay them, because that's part of his undertaking, lo yochlu b'truma, they may not eat truma. If they die, they die in his cheshbon. He will see if they go up in value. He will see if they go up in his cheshbon as well. Since he's liable to replace them, in other words, therefore, they're essentially his. Areel yochlu b'truma, they may eat b'truma as his slaves. Okay? Minayel kwe chenosa isha. It says, I would know the regular kohen who marries a woman who's permitted to him. The kanalo avodim and he acquires for himself avodim. Or it's either or. Hayin al kohen marries a woman or acquires a vodim, she also b'truma that his wife or slaves eat truma. Tamor goes but says kohen ki kinek nevish kinek kasvul. The kohen acquires something, a soul, to be the purchase of his money. So that refers either to his wife or his slaves, and they get to eat truma. Okay, the kohen's wife or his slaves, even though obviously they're not kohanim. Now, how do you know that if a wife buys slaves, or the own the master's own slaves by themselves slaves, how we know she also be truma? How know that they truma? So how know what time we know that his wife's slaves, but his own slaves' slaves, how we know that they have the right to eat truma? So says the Gemara, Talmud Lomar, because Bar says the kohen ki ikan nefesh kinyan kaspo. If a kohen buys a soul or a kinyan kaspo, the acquisition of his money. So without idashin af kinyano shekana kinyan, even his purchase, his that which belongs to him, which acquired something, ochel. So the indirect the thing which is not directly his eats as well. So here we see that if his avodim acquired avodim, they too eat truma. The avodim bought by the avodim, which is a big chiddush. You know, with the slaves by slaves, and the slave level 1 can eat truma, so too the slave level 2 can eat truma as well. Good question. Say it tomorrow, we're going to talk about it. It would take a slave. Well, I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha and Rabbi Hila, B'Shem Rav Lez said, Heim Yochlu, they eat and they allow to. It says that apostle which he brought at the beginning of the Gemara that give a coin kikin and nevish kinyan kaspo. The coin acquires something to his soul. So it says there he eats truma, right? So it says there in the pasuk heim yochlu, they will eat. So we dash that pasuk veheim yachilu, they will cause others to eat. I'm not sure why we dash that way. Well, it's because the extra heim, where the heim is superfluous or some other reason. But we say anybody can eat can cause others to eat. But this is why beevich kana avadim, that if a slave buys slaves, amanashia rabbi rabbi shusbam, in order that his masters have some jurisdiction over them. Well, he must be, so that's what our Mishnah is talking about, that these Avodim have the right, the Bryce is talking about, that these Avodim of the Avodim have the right to eat Truma. Now, this is an interesting thing. What happens here, obviously, even though we have a principle of Mashkona Evikona Rabba, whatever a slave buys is Rebbe buys, obviously our Gemara is telling us that it's not directly the masters. It's the masters via the Evid. Because otherwise, of course, what's the Chiddush here? You know, why do you need to say that the Avodim by Avodim, that the Avodim of the Avodim eat Truma? Obviously, if they belong to the master, so they eat Truma, right? So you have to see, excuse me, that the linkage to the master is indirect. I mean, the linkage to the linkage to the master is indirect, right? Okay, otherwise, the Gemara doesn't make sense. There's no chiddush in what the Gemara is saying. But the linkage is indirect, and nevertheless, it's on the general jurisdiction of the owner of the house, who is a kohen, so therefore the avodim and avodim of the avodim ki truma as well. Okay? As opposed to, be'eve chikona avodim amnas chubi sheloye or she'ein rabba shusbuen, if an eve buys avodim, without giving his master any benefit in them, any authority over them, kinyan who kinyanohem, they're the kinyan of the sharecropper or whoever he is, the second in command guy, the eved, therefore they can't eat truma. Can I make myself clear?
Yeah, I'm still not clear how an eved can have.
Oh, so the rest. He got money from somewhere else. Somebody gave him money as a gift. And they gave him his money on Menashe in the Rabba Roshuspo with the intent that his master should not have any jurisdiction over him. It's not automatic.
So he can have a problem.
Right.
Because another Eved that's left.
Right.
So he can actually
own the problem. Right. That's what comes in. The what? We don't buy usually. If the first slave bought the slaves, and expressly stated his intent that they should not be subject to the jurisdiction of the master, then the second level slaves can't eat truma, but the first level slaves can still eat truma, right? The slave owner can eat, so the slaves he owns cannot eat.
Can the first slave tell the second slave to do the work for him instead?
I think so. Sounds like it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Achon, Rabbi Hillel Shem Rulezer said, "Evich kona avodim anashen shloye l'rabur shuspoem." If an evet buys avodim, in other words, first level slave by second level slaves, with the intent that the master has no jurisdiction over them, who mace, and then the first level slave dies, kokonim zocha, right? Anybody who gets them acquires them because they're hefker, because their master died, right? What? They're not free. No. Who freed them? Okay, so they're free. No.
What if the master died?
No. It goes to the heir. Doesn't become hefker. Says Gemara, V'achol lav kinyon. Here's an Akinyan Kinyano. Well, this is actually going back to the Mishnah. The question of the Mishnah, as the Pnei Moshe explains it, is why can't the Avnei Milok eat Truma? They're Kinyan Kinyano, right? They're acquired by the wife, who's acquired by the husband in the old days when things like this still were acceptable. So, therefore, so in that case, the avodim of the wife, even though they're her avodim, the avodim milog, it should be allowed to eat truma, right? That stands to reason. So why not? So two reasons. Says, well, Rabbi Yehuda Shem Rebbe said, heim yochlu v'heim yachilu. No, because it says, who eats? Where that should pasuk that extra heim. Whoever can eat is the one who causes others to eat. Ha'goy lo'chol samisul b'eat can cause others to eat. Can the here in our Mishnah talk about Amora married the Kohen Gadol, right? So she's no longer, she's a widow and she's married to Kohen Gadol, or a divorcee married to Reuel Kohen. So she herself is not allowed to eat truma. How could she cause that volume under jurisdiction to eat truma? That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishum Knas. Theoretically, really, she could allow her avodim to eat truma. Why doesn't she? Because we fine her in order to get her out of the marriage as soon as possible. Not Avigmina, what's an Avigmina? What's the difference between the two positions? Ever Orel Shekona Avodim. An uncircumcised slave who acquired other slaves. Eat Tamar Knas, if we're going to say that the reason why the slaves can, the wife slaves cannot eat truma is because of a knas. We find them because of the forbidden marriage. Here, they ain't got knas. Who are we finding here? Why it should be a problem, so therefore they should be allowed to eat truma. Alright, in Tamar, a royal Achom Achiv, we're going to say anybody, somebody who sub himself to eat can allow others to eat. So the Zen, in this case, it's the first level slave, Hovein a royal Achol, he can't eat because he's an Orel, an uncircumcised person, may not eat truma. So therefore, Eno Machil, he can't allow others to eat as well. Okay? Came at the other case of Mishra, Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. Omar, he said, "V'avdeitzon plarzel pligin." We have a machlokus about avdeitzon barzel. What's a machlokus? Rabbi Yochanan Amar machron. If the husband sells them, ain't a machron, they're not sold. Which of course is difficult. Why not? Because they seem to belong to them, right? It's avdeitzon barzel. Let's give back their value, not they themselves. They can't sell. Omar, later Rabbi Lezer said, "I don't understand how you can say this." The whole reason why these athletes on bars are eating truma is because of their being affiliated with the Baal, with the owner who is a Kohen, right? So it's all based on their affiliation with him. You're going to say he can't sell them? How can you say that those two svaras can't coexist? If they can eat truma because they're owned by the owner of the by their owner, so certainly their owner should have the right to sell them as well, right? Is that clear? If they can eat truma because they're owned by this owner who's a kohen, so why can't this owner who's a kohen sell them? right? If Avdei Milo can eat, Avdei Tzom Barzom can eat truma, because the husband owns them, right? Indirectly, but he owns them through his wife. So why can't he sell them? So why do they eat truma? Why do you have both ways?
Like second generation.
Why?
Assuming that the wife is like first generation.
Yeah, but the wife here gave him authorization. The Tzom Barzom belongs to the Tzom Barzom. She wants the husband to be in charge of it, right? So it's not like Eved who bought Sayam Nasha Ein Lo Rabba Shuspo, a slave who bought something to which it saw his master shouldn't have any authority over it. She wants the husband to have authority. Otherwise, she's not going to get back her investments, right? So why can't she sell? That's the question. So Omar Leh, so Rabbi Yochanan said, I'll tell you. Okay, Avdei Milog, Avadim which are Avdei Milog, not Avdei Tzom Barzom. Harein Ochli and Truma Mikochol. Theoretically, the mice we don't possibly, we say they can't eat Truma because of Knas. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said before. But theoretically, they could eat Truma because of their master or their mistress's husband, right? The Kohen, right? So says the Gemara, Zos Vameris, this teaches us, Mechoron Eina Mechorin, that if he sells them, they're not sold. Why does it tell us that again? I read that wrong. Sorry. Armley, I read Avdei Milog, I read Ochli Matrumi Kocho. Vata Mark Machan and Mukhurim, you're going to sell. So I read it right the first time. Vata Mark Machan and Mukhurim. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, you agree with me by Avdei Milog. You know what I mean? You don't need Trumas because we find them. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said in the bottom. The only reason we say that Avdei Milog can't eat truma is because we find them hoping that they'll get divorced. We find the Amar of the Kohen Gadol, right? The Amar or the Kohen Gadol that their Havonim can't eat truma in order that they should expedite divorce proceedings. So if that's the case, theoretically they could eat truma. And we know Avdei Milog cannot be sold because who do they belong to? The woman. It's not like Avdei Tzom Barzom for sure. Avdei Tzom Barzom, they might belong to the man. But Avdei Milog, you can't sell. So we see, says Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a distinction between the right to sell and the right to eat truma. So if it says, I, Rabbi Yochanan, that Avdei Tzom Barzom also, even though they eat truma as a result of the husband, but the husband does not have the right to sell them. The two separate realms in Halacha, they're not distinct from each other. Okay? That's Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yochanan says, no! Let me give it back to you from your own statement. He says, Avdei Milog, I lost my place. Gadinu shaloy echal truma. Really, Avdei Milog, they shouldn't eat truma at all. Because who do they belong to, the Avdei Milog? The wife, right? The Rabbanan said they can eat. It's an interesting thing. I assume it's because of Hefker based in Hefker. In other words, by regular Avdei Milog, not where it's on one of the Kohen Gadol. Regular Avdei Milog, really, they shouldn't be allowed to eat Truma. Because they belong to the woman, and she's not a Kohenis. So why can't she eat Truma? Why can't they eat Truma? Because the Rabbanan said they should be allowed to eat Truma. So Tei Mamu, right? They said so. They Hefker based Hefker. They gave the right to do so, right? So Behein Amru Mechorin and Mechurin, and they at the same time said, if you try to sell them, they're not sold. The husband tries to sell them, it's not sold. He only has the right to feed them. Truma doesn't have the right to sell them, right? But over here, in the case where it's talking about Nifsei Tzom Barzel, here Rabbanan didn't need to make any distinctions of that sort, and they didn't. And therefore, by Nechzi Tzom Barzel, they say there certainly is They certainly were affiliated with the husband, and therefore, since they're affiliated with the husband, so he can sell them as well. Okay? So again, by Nichsei Milok, says Rabbi Lesser, I learned that really the Avanim Mu'adim Milok should not eat Truma. They shouldn't have the right to eat Truma. The reason they have the right to eat Truma is because of the Hefker Beis Nefker. So Hefker Beis Nefker, they only took a part way, not all the way. They didn't give him the right to sell. But by Nichsei Tzom Barzel, inherently, the right to eat the Truma is not because the Beis Nefker allowed it, but rather because of one of the Psukim before, because they already belonged to him, right? So since they already belong to him, so therefore they have the right to eat Truma. But since they already belong to him, therefore they may also be sold by him at his discretion. Okay? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov Barach B'Sher Rehersh said, Masisim Sayyid, then we have Bryce like one of these. Masisim Sayyid, then Masisa Bryce like the other one. Masisim Sayyid, Rabbi Lez, is a Bryce which, like Rabbi Lez says, this way it's on Barzel he can sell. As opposed to Nilsim Milok, which he cannot. What does that say? That says, Avdi Milog, Yotzi Mishem Bayin Lisha. The Avadim, which Avdi Milog, if the woman knocks out their tooth or eye, so then they go free. Because if a woman knocks out, if any of a slave's tooth or eye knocked out, so then they go out of slavery. So it says, Avdi Milog, Yotzi Mishem Bayin Lisha. Who's the one who has to make them lose a tooth or eye in order for them to go free? The wife, right? Have a little ish, but not for the man. Why? Because who owns them? He owns them. But it's on Barzel, but the Avadim, which are on Barzel, on the contrary, Yoitz and Meshay Vayan Lish, they go out for the, with the tooth and an eye for the father, I mean, for the husband, have a little ish, but not for the woman, because it's on Barzel already belongs to him. So that's a Rabbi Lesser who says that it's on Barzel truly belongs to him. So Mavli Rabbi Yochan, what did Rabbi Yochan do with this Barzel? So he says a very interesting thing. He says, the truth is, they don't really belong to the husband, right? But kalu b'shichur, and fascinating concept. He says, it's a leniency by shichur, by freeing, that we allow freedom under circumstances which wouldn't normally allow a sale. Ke'ada, like the following case, I'll bring you a proof. The Tani, we learned, ha'oisa avda apotike. If somebody makes this evident to apotike, and apotike is designated collateral, right, he makes it, says to my slave, she designated collateral on a loan that I owe. Machro, and then the guy turns around and sells the slave and a machro. It's not a valid sale. Why is it not a valid sale? Because he's depriving the other person of his lien, right? Machro and a machro. It's not a valid sale. But shichro, if you redeem the slave is free. Shichro. So what do we see? We see that somebody else's lien can prevent me from selling my slave, but it can't prevent me from releasing my slave, right? Is that clear?
It can't prevent me from selling, but it can't allow you to be free.
None of this is allowed. I made the ever collateral, but I can still use. I can still free the slave, but I can't sell the slave, right? Because it's designated. So to here says Rabbi Yochanan. The husband cannot sell the Tzom Barzel. What he can do is he can redeem them, free them, release them. Why is that? Because there are always more rights to release than to sell. I think because releasing is a holy thing, it makes an Eved a full Yisrael, so therefore more stringent. So therefore, what Rabbi Yochanan says is that you can't sell Nichsei Tzom Barzel Avodim. You may not. Even though you can release them. Right? Why is that? Because the woman's affinity to the Tzom Barzel bars you from selling the Avdi Tzom Barzel. But since release is such a powerful value in Am Yisrael, so therefore that release overwhelms whatever rights she has, which impedes upon him for selling. So there, Rabbi Yochanan survives this proof intact with his brute, with his own position. His own position is that the husband may not even sell Avdei Tzom Barzel. I can release Avdei Tzom Barzel. That's why if the Shein V'ayin is knocked out by him, the Avdei Tzom Barzel go free. True, you can release them, but he can't sell them. It's easier to get released than to get sold. Okay? Says the Gemara, Masisa Messiah, Rabbi Yochanan, there's a prize proof for Rabbi Yochanan as well. says Echad Avdi Milog Vechad Avdi Tzom Barzel, both Avdi Milog and Avdi Tzom Barzel, Einon Biyom Yomayim. We don't leave them around to see whether they're going to linger for a day or two. Bein Yotzei B'Shem Ayin, nor they go out by a tooth or an eye. Bein Leish, Bein Leisha. In other words, neither the man or woman has the full ownership. Whenever there's a full owner, so if you smite the Eved and he lingers for a day or two, you're off the hook. Only if he dies on the spot are you Chayim Misa. And also, do we say also that if you have a case where it's jointly owned by them, so then neither one, if they knock out a tooth, is going to make the slave go free. So therefore, we say here that we see clearly that there is not, the ownership is fuzzy, right? Because it says the inner yotzi b'shem ayin loli ben leish ben leisha. Now it doesn't matter who knocks out the eye. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Nobody has complete rights to sell. Ma'pligi. Now going back to the machlokas, Rabbi Lezer and Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Why, whether he can sell nichsei tzom barzel evid or not? What's the machlokas? B'shemachon lolam is it talking about whether you can sell them for all eternity, or b'shemachon l'shoah you can sell them temporarily? It says more in Tamar. If you're going to say b'shemachon l'olam that the machlokas is where they sold forever, and however take out the velo. However, machlon l'shoah the rei kol machoyim you can sell them temporarily. It's okay. Okay, that's one side of the coin. The other part means in Tamar b'shemachon l'shoah that the machloke. The machlokas is when they're sold privately, temporarily. Avo, however, take out the word lo again. Machlokas, they're sold forever. Designated collateral. Leisha for woman to be ksuvos to pay for ksuva in case of default on cash. Ubachov or to a creditor. Alchovo on his debt in case of default on cash. Machla, if you sell it, I raise the machura. It's a valid sale. If you sell it, designated collateral, the sale is a valid sale. You're a Russia. You're going to burn in hell for it. Shouldn't have sold the land, which is designated collateral, but the sale is a valid sale, right? Halokeach, Yechush Latzmo. So what about the buyer? Caveat emptor. The buyer was a sucker. He should have bought it because their prior liens on it, right? But the sale is a valid sale. Hashem Leomer, no! Leisha b'ksuvos, if you sell a land which is designated collateral to a woman for a ksuva, ain't a mechura, it's not a valid sale, period. So olas al das, now it's interesting, reason why not. It's not possible to conceive, shetei isha mechazeres abotei dinim, that women should be required to go to court in order to get back land which is sold out from under their noses, even though it was designated collateral. So Tanakam holds, everybody here, before I go say the more inside, let me say it outside. Everybody here holds it's not a permanent sale, right? Because the lien holder gets it back. Because his lien precedes the sale. But Agami holds you can't sell temporarily. Because we don't want to be matriach. We want to only cause the woman the difficulty of going to base it. So we don't even allow a temporary sale to go through. Not even until such time as it becomes necessary to get the land back out of the buyer. Okay, so that's what it says. They said, Asid Rabbi Lezer Krabonah. Rabbi Lezer holds you can say sell nichsei tzom barzel. It's like Krabonah holds you can sell the designated collateral, right? And Rabbi Yochanan says you can't sell avdei tzom barzel. It's Kavshin Gamliel holds you can't sell designated collateral. And heavy, and since it's a parallel, Lusha Machl Shorno Kayomin. Obviously the Machluk is only on a temporary sale. But to sell forever, everybody agree that that's not a valid sale altogether. Okay? Now, period. New issue. Vlad Behemoth Belog, what if a behemoth, which is Behemoth Belog, gives birth? Labal. So goes to the husband. Why is that? Because appreciation goes to the husband, right? So a Vlad is appreciation. That goes to the husband, right? By Milog, not by some. No, sorry, it's the opposite. By Milok, appreciation goes to her. It's not appreciation because it's not considered to be appreciation, obviously. Because by some buyers, though, appreciation goes to the husband, sure, her advance remains the same. But by Milok, appreciation goes to her. Depreciation goes to her. the fruit goes to the husband. You know, the Gemara says we allow him to get the fruit of the milog in order that if she falls in captivity, he should redeem her. That's the word says. He gets the fruit, so he should redeem her if she falls in captivity. So therefore, in this case, the vlad of the behema is considered to be a fruit, and therefore the vlad goes to whom? If it's a fruit, it's a byproduct, not appreciation, depreciation. It goes to the husband, right? Right. Vlad milo goes to the vlad nilsim milo vlad banso glabal, but vlad shvachos milog, if she has a shivchas milog as a maidservant and it gives birth, so then that goes leisha. That's not considered to be a fruit. It's not considered to be a byproduct. It's considered to be appreciation. And the Pnei Moshe explains based on the Bavli that by an animal, the animal is considered to be a fruit because even if the animal dies, you still have the animal's hide. In other words, even the mother dies, you still have its hide. The woman still has its hide. So therefore, anything else is a fruit. Because she always retains something in the animal itself. So therefore, anything else the animal has is considered to be a fruit. However, by a shvach, if the shivcha dies, you can't skin her and take her hide, right? So therefore, what is the continuity of a shivcha is her child. I mean, that the child replaces the mother if the mother is to die. So therefore, that becomes part and parcel of the actual principle, so to speak. You see what I'm saying?
It's a natural consequence.
Right. So even though we're after the death of the mother, there would still be something left to the Isha. So then all the children, all the progeny belongs to the husband as Peros. But where after the death of the mother, there'd be nothing left to the Isha. So in order for the principle to maintain itself, you have to say that the children, the progeny, next generation also belong to the mother, to the Isha, to the wife. And that's true about the Vlad of the Shifa. Chanan ben Achia Yeshua Omer. He said, now here, change the words. Should be Vlad Shivchas Milo, ki Vlad Behemas Milo. No difference. The child of the maidservant is like the child of the animal, and it goes to the husband. Rabbi Lezer Amar Chevraya, Havon Yodin, you should know the Rabbi Yochanan, Chanani ben Achi Yoshua. Rabbi Yochanan ben Achi Yoshua, that all progeny, both of animals and children, and of human beings, go to the husband. Rav Shmuel, Rav Shmuel had a machlokas about this. Rav says, Rabbona, that there's a difference between the progeny of an animal and the progeny of the maidservant. Shmuel, Chachani, Ben Achi, Yeshua, they're both the same. Meisir, Shmuel says they're both the same. Ask the Rav, Al Dait Chodat, Omar Bishal Ishohen, you're saying that the progeny of the Shivcha goes to the woman, right? So if that's the case, interesting question. He says, if that's the case, a b'chor only gets double in property which is around at the time of the death of the father, not an appreciation which comes after the death of the father. So according to you, if you regard the child of a maidservant as appreciation of the maidservant, so a b'chor who has a shivcha, I mean, the father has a shivcha, and then the father dies, and the shivcha gives birth after the father's death, so that's appreciation, and then the b'chor should not get double in that appreciation. And Shmuel somehow finds that impossible to conceive of. He says it must be that he gets double of the children of the shivcha. I don't know why Shmuel finds that so difficult, so Shmuel says. So it says, Gemara, Hagatz Mecha. This is, I think, Shmuel is that Rav is answering. Rav answers. He says, "No, it's not true." He says, "Imagine this: Shichnisa Ktanim v'Godlu. If they're small maidservants, the avodim are born when they're young, and they grow up, they become adults. Harein shalisha, right? They have to belong to the woman. That appreciation belongs to the woman. Va'mayilisha b'chor natu b'shnayim. And you can see to me that even though they're older, the same thing after a father dies and leaves his kids the avodim. And they grow older, and they appreciate over that time. So, of course, the b'chor gets pishnaim, right? We learn Ichnisos and Yiladim Noklos on Norim. And we learn a price, in fact, that if she brings in young maidservants or young slavonim, when she takes them out, she gets them back, even when they grow up and they're worth much, much more. So he says the same thing is true about the Vlados of the Shivcha. The Vlados of the Shivcha as well, they are considered to be a direct continuation of the Shivcha, not Shvach, but rather part of the principle. And therefore, after the father dies, the vladers of the shivcha also are divided up with double going to the b'chor. So he says, Shmuel, you misunderstood me. You think that I look at it as fringe appreciation, fringe appreciation separate from the body, and therefore the b'chor would not get double. No, I look at it just like an eved which grew up from being younger, and appreciation is inherent, and that the b'chor does get bishnaim. So too, the next generation of children of this maidservant, of this eved, are considered to be in a continuation, and therefore there's bishnaim in them, double in them for the b'chor as well. Okay, now going back to Nichsei Tzom Barzo. Hichnisa lo shnei kelim. This is a cool case. She brought in two kelim. So one of them is worth the value of her entire ksuva, meaning that they appreciate in price. She brought in two Waterford crystals, and they're each worth $1,000, right? And now, when she gets divorced, they're both worth $2,000, so she only gets one, right? Because the one will carry her entire burden now, because she brought in two which are worth $1,000 a piece. Now each one is worth $2,000, so now she only gets one back. Is that clear? Because it's on buyer's own, right? So she gets back the value, right? What if now it's 1.5? Right? It's 1.5 crystals are worth her original ksuva. Right? So again, her original ksuva was, let's say, her ritual was 1,500. And now, you get the idea, right? 1.5. So what happens? What do you break the second crystal in half? Doesn't make any sense, right? So what do you do? So Rav Huna Rav Nachman Yehuda Machlokas. Chanara, who knows Sitimei Hashem and Oklo? So one said he pays for the other half of the second one, and he takes the other thing. But Chonamah, the other one, says, he no said it's Meir Sheni. No, she pays him for the second half. No, Glosson gets the second crystal. And that makes sense. And Rabbi Abra Khan explains, and it goes even further. Amar Kermi Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Abra Khan, Amar Kermi Rabbi Ami. And Rabbi Akarach, Hashem Riyah said, Afilo Yofa Echad. Take out the next word of Mechza. Gilead Fine takes out. I feel you have an echo biksubasa. Even if one, going back to the first case, you already said, even if one of the two crystals now is worth the entire value of both at the beginning of the marriage, he knows senest mayor Shane even no glosso. She can pay for the second one and demand it back, even though she's paid for it. So Allah Saldas Ishtab Shachem Kalea. It would be absurd that he gets, after he divorces her, to keep her crystal and use her crystal. So if it's true, she could get compensated for, she only gets for free the one which completes the entire sum of money which she's owed. But she has the right to pay for the other one and demand it back, because what kind of a chutzpah is it that he's going to divorce her and keep her crystal? A tremendous chutzpah, right? Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Zizah, Masiso, Amar Kain, our Mishnah tells us this. Hichnisa sam bedomim, this Bryce tells us, Bryce says, Hichnisa bedomim, notlosa bedomim. If she brought it in for money, she takes it out for money, meaning that it's obvious that we're talking about a case where there's a discrepancy and she has the right to for whatever is estimated, even now, if it's worth much, much more, she has the right to pay for it and take it out with him. Mao milog. Take out the word avde. You can read avde, but it's not necessary. He's asking, what does the word milog mean? What's the derivation? So our Malaysia said, "Kamada at Amar molig molig," like you say, molig molig. Molig molig means to take the hair off a chicken's head, you know, to soak it until the feathers come off. So here too, even though you soak it and you take off the feathers, whatever's left at the end, she gets. See what it means, Milog? Even if you skin the chicken, not skin, but you de-feather whatever it's called, the chicken, so whatever's left, she gets in the end. Talmud team, we learned over there. Hamakabel tzom barzel mina goy. Interesting case. So you can make tzom barzel milog with anybody. You can make it and put it, build it into a contract. So you accept sheep from a goy, right? And you're raising the sheep, and they're tzom barzel, meaning you're going to give the goy back their value. So nevertheless, havlados, the sheep and their children, are pturim, are exempt from bechor. Because the goy has rights on these sheep, so therefore their firstborn are not holy. Vladi Vladas, however, the fourth generation is chayiv, meaning if these sheep have bechoros, they're potter. If their children have bechoros, they're potter. If their children's children's potter have, or children's children have bechoros, then you're chayiv already. Well, they're chayiv and bechoros. What's the difference? Rabbi Yirmiyah boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah has tamanatamer, have vladas l'rishon. Here you say that the vladas belong to the goy, and therefore you're exempt from bechoros. But here you say that the husband has the rights to the sheep, right? Because by Dichsei Tzom Barzel, Shkor, the husband, you say he gets the rights to the sheep. So what's the difference? So says Mar Yossi, he said, Tamai Deshi Korol Arishon Avlodis Arishon. There, but by the, since the goy gave you the animals, and if he doesn't get back his investment, he's going to come and take your animals back. So therefore, the halacha is that he still, it's called in Yad Akum Baem, so he still has a right to them. So this is also right to them, so that's why they're potter from Bechorah. Even though he doesn't physically own them anymore. But since he has rights up to the third generation that he can come and claim them, if he doesn't get back his investment, so that's why they're potter from Bechorah. But here, the woman doesn't get back the sheep in any shape or form, right? She does not concern with getting the sheep back. She doesn't want the sheep back. She wants money, right? So therefore, Havlodis Lusheni here, there's no concept of Yad Isha Bamsa. Right, maybe she'll have to sue for the sheep, but she'd rather not get the sheep, right? So therefore, he has the right to sell them in the meantime. So by the case of the goy, no, it's a little bit late, I'm sorry. By the case of the goy, so therefore, as long as the goy has some lien on it, so it exempts from Bechorah. But, of course, the Jew could sell those sheep if he wanted to, and therefore they're his. It's just that the goy's hand over them is a offensive from being kosher b'chora. By woman, there's no such concept of yad isha. Yes, it's true she has a lien over them, but the maaser, she has no desire for them. She wants to get the money when she gets divorced, and therefore he has the right to sell them, and there's no issue of b'chora involved. Okay, stop here.